Hey guys, welcome to Rod Nakacrest. This is Chris.
And I'm Jake.
Yes, you are, as always, the Jake Meister McJakerson.
Rod Nakacrest. Yes. Yeah.
Did you know that this is my first engine that I've ever had a Rod Nak in?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened on the Hummer.
Ooh.
And it just keeps getting worse the more you drive it.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. How was your weekend?
It was really fun. It was a lot.
It was a lot. I bet you had the opposite amount of fun that I had. Like, the fun that I didn't have, I bet you were, like, the opposite, all the way on the other side of the
scale. I could see that.
That would be the inverse.
But then, like, when you obviously were not having fun, maybe I was having fun.
Yeah.
Sure. And why is that? We should not just, like, talk in code to people here.
Yes.
No, so, first of all, let's start at the beginning. This weekend was kind of our favorite weekend of the year as far as motorsport. We've always said that.
It was.
Usually. Yes. So Road America, which is, of course, the amazing storied track in Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin, has their annual Brian Redman WeatherTech International Challenge, which is the vintage race car weekend.
It was the busiest I have ever seen it.
It was very busy.
Like, it was insane.
Especially downtown, which we'll get to that. But it was like you couldn't move. It was crazy.
Yeah, it was asshole to elbow, as they would say. Which is a good sign, I think. You know, it's weird.
You don't want it to be like a ghost town and no one is interested and worried it's not gonna happen anymore.
Yeah, we've been looking into doing like a NASCAR episode, and I don't know where are you on that?
It's there. Like, I have notes.
It's there. Okay.
And what's you should see is my browser, by the way, just for Overcrest. So besides like Overcrest business stuff, then I have other tabs that are all Overcrest stories that are all like halfway fleshed out. And I think I have 15 different stories going right now.
Wow. Okay. Well,
this is
one of the things
again,
that I noticed when I was looking at ADHD. Overcrest. At NASCAR. Is that
okay?
The attendance has been going slowly down.
Yeah.
Like down, down, down. And what I found to be interesting is Formula One is going up, up, up.
Yeah.
And vintage racing is going bananas.
Like, yeah. Is that just our little microcosm?
I talked to the guys at Laguna Seca a few years ago about what's going on with the Monterey Historics. And I just was like, it's really busy this year. She's like, Chris, it's exponential. It's going crazy.
Wow.
Everybody is. And I was trying to think, like, what is
Why?
It that's causing this? Because most of the people that go, I mean, if you look at what's there, it's mostly 70s, a little bit of 80s, a fraction of 90s and 2000s. You know, you get a little bit of like an Audi R8 that was some GT car, GTP or whatever it is. And you get some of that stuff. But mainly it's probably 60s and 70s. Would you agree?
Yep. And last year, I didn't even see it this year, but last year they even had, like, if you go early in the morning, they run it almost chronologically. They have like the pre-war stuff, right?
Yeah, that's really always right away in the morning. That's what you wake up to if you camp.
And that's cool to see, because every day you get the progression of like race car technology throughout the day.
I don't think that's exactly how it works, but I love that pre-war stuff. You see those guys out there with their steering wheel that's like,
it's massive. There is no roll hoop whatsoever. Like, your elbows are outside the chassis of the car.
Yeah.
And so it's like
a blast. You're fighting it the whole time going 28 miles per hour with little.
It does actually look very fun.
Movies. Yeah. I want to drive something like that. I've driven a Model A.
Yeah.
But I haven't, you know.
But, you know, not at speed on the track when it's. Yeah.
No, just like this on the farm.
Yeah, the buckboard suspension.
Of the Clue Farm, just bouncing around. So this weekend it was really, really busy.
Great weather.
I didn't really make it there. Technically, I did, but I woke up early. And so
on Thursday.
I've been busting.
Start from
my
the beginning.
I've been busting my ass to get the car to run well. I have.
Right.
And the night before I left, I took it out for a drive, and it ran perfect.
You're like, it's set.
It
We're
is
good.
The best. It is, bar none, the best sounding engine I have ever owned.
It is really good.
It sounds incredible.
Here's
truly
an epiphany I had this weekend, too. is when cars are in race spec and driven in anger at speed, an inline six is one of the best sounding motor configurations of any car out there.
Yeah, they sound incredible. And it did sound incredible. And it revved out great, revved out to, 7,000, 7,200, which it can do. It's got the valve springs and the cams and all that stuff.
It could. It used to be able to do.
Sure can. Well, it still can. It still runs. And I was okay. I went to sleep happy. Went to sleep happy.
Hop this was up Wednesday night. Yep.
I got everything loaded up. I put my my little electric scooter in the trunk.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Got everything dialed in. Bags, spare parts. Like, I always bring, like, a coil, an ignition box, and a fuel pump. And then basic tools.
Right.
Beyond that, I mean, you can bring, if you're driving far, sometimes I'll bring, like, a CV, like an axle.
Sure.
Those can go bad. But otherwise, I don't really bring anything because...
Well, what can you reasonably fix on the side of the road? You should be able to have those spares.
Right.
But also, you know what it goes towards?
Like an alternator and stuff. It's like, no. I'm not fixing an alternator on the side of the road. It's just...
Probably not. No. And it's Occam's razor, right? Like, if you have it with you, you won't need it. So partially, at least for me, subconsciously, I'm like, I'm going to pack it so it won't go bad. Because if I have it, I won't need it.
Yeah, I don't believe in any of that. None of that is true. It's all false.
No, I know, but whatever. That's why I have a clutch cable.
Hop up
in my 911.
Do you?
Oh yeah, under the spare tire, I always have a clutch cable.
It's a burly.
I don't know why. I heard horror stories of that just goes bad for people.
Yeah. It doesn't.
Which probably never. But
no, mine had 80,000 miles on it, and then it got replaced when we did the new motor. But that is a burly cable. I mean, it could break
for sure. I don't know how it really goes bad, but
if it was the original cable to the car, and it was 50 years old and it had been like, maybe it's got a little corrosion in it, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I guess I've never replaced my cable, so who knows, but it seems fine. Anyways, that's beside the point.
So it sounded great. And I left, I met up with Jeff from Griot's Garage, my buddy Chad, my buddy Paul, who works at
all the Minneapolis guys that were going out there. Well, not all of them, obviously, but some of these guys.
Yeah, it was good. Started driving down. Jeff's got a great looking 911T with ST flares and an RS front bumper, and it's got a 2.7 with brand new carbs built by my buddy Dave. Yep. Sounds great, looks great. It's got the red Spectrum Recaros in it to match the car.
Yep,
it is dialed. So I'm driving with him. We're having a good time. I'm like, boy, I feel cool. And there's not much. I don't know that I have a car that looks cooler going down the road than this Mercedes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would agree.
It's slammed. The fitment is fucking dialed. It wasn't this low when I left for the rally a few years ago.
You lowered it more? Did it settle?
Well, it settled because I cut the springs.
Yeah.
So they have, it's not a progressive spring. It's just a linear spring.
So you can do that.
So I cut them. And then over the course of the 3,000 miles that I drove the thing, it did settle down a little bit. So it's dumped. It still handles great.
It looks great. Yep.
Oh, it's so comfortable to drive. It's got the vent windows and your hand goes right on the right spot on the mirror. It's perfect.
And let's be clear, like, the livery is what gets everyone attention.
Yeah, it looks good without it. I went back and looked at the pictures. I'm like, ooh, this thing still looks really, really good. But the livery is great. And Jeff did such a killer job on it. It really... really made the car a wonderful thing. So we're driving, and I remember, I think the most memorable, well, second most memorable part of the route out there was driving behind Jeff and having him, I saw him swerve a little bit, and then I saw about one third of a deer kick out from underneath his 911. And thank God the thing didn't have any damage at all.
Right. Like, I was surprised.
But this deer leg, you know those tomahawk steaks?
Yep.
It was like the leg, that whole leg part just came like zinging out from underneath. And I remember just seeing it in slow motion, like the leg by itself, just like it looked like
tumbling
it was
in front of you.
It was running, like it had a mind of its own.
Oh no.
Just like, I was like, oh no. And so we ended up pulling over to this gas station. And I remember climbing down underneath the car to spray it out. And there's just like venison hamburger just piled into his control
Jeff's
arms.
Car.
Yeah. I didn't run over
because you didn't get over it. Yeah.
No, I was paying attention.
you shared a picture of like the front torsion bar.
Yeah, the control arm. Yep.
Thing. And it was, it did, it looked like just hamburger. Like someone took some raw hamburger and just smeared it right there.
Yep. Yep. Like, and it, oh, and it was pretty much the worst smelling thing I've ever smelled in my life.
Ooh,
I dropped the wand on the ground, gagging, and ran away. Yep.
Really?
I was like, I'll do this for you. Because Jeff is very particular about his cars.
Yes, he is, of course he is.
He's a sales manager for Griot's. He's a product developer for Griot's. He's like...
So
he's,
every one of his cars is...
Everything's perfect. So I'm like, you know what? I'll do this for him.
Polished,
I don't. Yes. He doesn't need to see it. You know,
oh, right. Because he's going to be like,
it.
Oh, no.
Meltdown. Yeah. I'll do it for you. And I just... It was almost like if you were laying on the beach and the tide came in and washed over you. The water. That's what the smell was like.
That was the smell.
Just and it was thick. Like this physical, it was just a physical wall of stink.
Because I have to imagine that deer wasn't fresh in
I think it had been on the asphalt highway skillet for quite a while.
Yeah.
It had been cooking for a bit.
Ooh, okay. But miraculously, like I looked at the bumper when I saw his car right away and I was like, nothing.
Nothing, but it's on the other side of the car, all the bolts, like the roll cage bolts that'll bolt the roll cage, and everything's got these little tufts of hair on it and everything like that.
Yep.
So we got it all sprayed off. I dropped the wand on the ground. I'm like, I can't. You got to do it.
And you should have. I wouldn't even have done this, but cut the deer's little tail off and put it on the like antenna or something.
Come on, man.
Just as like a keepsake.
I do. Well, I hit a deer once in my rabbit back in the day.
Okay.
And I hooked
did you do
it
something
the
like
fender.
That?
I hooked it with the fender and just it was a deer ran out in the road, totaled the car, smashed the velocity stacks flat in the airbox.
Wow.
Like it had aluminum velocity stacks, smashed it flat. The car ran. destroyed the airbox, broke all kinds of shit. The car was done. It was totaled for sure. And that was sad because that car was named Audrey. That was back when I would name a car. I was much younger. And I thought that was cool. And it is distinctively not cool.
Naming it we've established that.
As is putting stupid stuff on your license plate. It's on the same plane
same
of
level,
of
huh?
lame. Yeah, same plane of lame. The lame plane where Jake lives. I hooked this deer and flipped over the car because I just hooked it right in the guts. So the whole side of the car is just covered in like intestines and poop.
Do you remember? That reminds me. Total sidetrack, but Joel. One of our friends from back in the Eurowork days that had the zombie rabbit and the engine bay he made look all bloody and stuff.
Yeah the zombie rabbit.
You basically had that livery naturally occurring.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So as flew over, I pulled over, the car's running, I shut off, and it's destroyed. It's done. It's 100% destroyed. And I'll post some pictures of it on the Discord. By the way, we have a Discord. We should put it in the show.
Turns out.
Remind me to do that.
It's a very active community.
It's hard. Cool. It's hard for me to keep up with. It's awesome.
Yeah.
So I go over and I'm standing at the deer. First of all, I took a leak on the deer's head because I was super mad. Because I was mad.
You're angry.
I was angry.
You're like, I'm going to defile this deer.
Defile this deer.
Oh my god.
So stupid.
How old were you? Yeah.
I don't know.
Maturity level was 20, Chris.
24. I was probably 24 years old.
That tracks.
And so this guy pulls over. He's like, is everything okay? He's in a hunting outfit. You know, this is hunting season. Deer are running. He's in a hunting outfit. And I go, I'm fine. He's like, do you mind if I take the scent glands off the deer or whatever? He's going to like just weird deer hunter stuff. I'm like, sure, but do you have a bone saw? He says, yeah. So he goes and get a bone saw. I cut the rack off the deer.
Yeah. Yeah.
And hung it in the garage. It's back over here. So I've got the rack from the deer that destroyed my rabbit hanging in the garage right over here. I bought a little mount thing and just screwed the rack right to the piece of wood.
Yep.
So I've got that going. Anyway, so we stop and gas up. Car doesn't smell like rotten meat anymore. And we start driving. Yep. And the car's it's loud. It makes a lot of noise, like induction noise, compression noise.
Sure.
You know, it was a strong motor. Dude, this thing, so the other motor, I couldn't go over 90 miles an hour. It was
because
so
it just
flat.
So
30% leak down. It was such a piece
was
of shit.
Making compression, not making
no
power.
Compression at all. This thing would run out 130, whatever it was, whatever the top of the four-speed gearbox, 130.
Yeah.
And it wasn't super fast, but if you romped on it in first gear in a corner, it would drift. You know, it made power. You know, it was, I don't know, probably 180, 200 horsepower, whatever it was. And I remember just like ripping through the gears and I did a flyby and I was driving and I ended up sitting in this traffic because of an accident. and I realized my radiator fan wasn't working. So I'm like, oh, that's not good. And the temperature got up to like 220. And then we started moving again. So not like...
Yeah, not damaging.
But it came up. And of course, it was because the stupid fuse that I had in there was still one of the old plastic ones. And when it got hot, it's got the little bullet fuses.
Melts a little bit.
It melted and squished and then just basically falls out of the thing. Yep. So then you have no fuse.
So dumb.
I'll never have to deal with that again, which is great. God. Okay, so continue. And I was like, well, that was not great, you know. And then I kind of like noticed a little bit of smoke on D-cell. I'm like, oh, that's new. Like, what is that?
Faint, very little.
A little.
Like, are you seeing it?
Yeah, I guess,
the used motor, if it smokes a little bit on D-cell, maybe the valve guides that I did weren't great or I didn't put it in right or what. I don't care. I don't give a shit.
Right.
And it makes a lot of noise, induction noise, little rattles.
Right.
Little clunks,
so it's hard to pinpoint.
But I hear like a, right when you roll into the throttle to do slight acceleration, I hear just like a little bit of, but it kind of sounds motor combustion-y.
Sounds fine.
It sounds like, I don't know if it sounded fine. It sounded different. I noted that something had changed.
Got it.
I'm like, something is different. Something had changed. And I was worried. And this is about an hour away. And I go, maybe I over revved it somehow, which I didn't. But I'm like, well, maybe I over revved it somehow and it maybe ticked a valve. And now a valve is just ever so slightly like touching something, or maybe a rocker arm got weird. I don't know.
Right.
Maybe
it's just valve clatter. That something loosened up, right?
But guys, I can't even tell you how slight it was.
So here's a question. Were you listening? Did you have AirPods in? Did you have music going at all?
I was listening to an audiobook.
Okay.
So it was quiet. I don't do AirPods in that car.
Because like, is this a lesson that a car you should, you know, if it's a very mechanical car that isn't necessarily proven, is it important to pay attention to the noises and not listen to music and everything else?
Yeah, I don't, you know, I was very in tune because this is a new motor. I drove it around a little bit here. I drove it to your house and back. That was kind of my break-in, which is about 85 miles round trip. It's plenty of time for a break-in.
Which goes to show when we always complain about going to each other's houses. That's why.
I never complain about going to your house.
You're right. That's why
I
complain.
You only complain about coming to my house, which you've done maybe 3 times in 8 years.
It's a ways. That's all.
Yeah, you're
it
a whiner.
Long time to get there. It's not a fun drive. It's traffic.
Yeah, thanks. It's
anyway.
What you have just said is that you don't like me. You don't like me enough for the drive that's uncool to be worth it.
That's not true.
All right, let's go. Let's keep going.
So it's just ever so slightly.
And then the ever so slightly becomes a little bit more apparent.
It's becoming more pronounced. Yes.
And it's not one of those. Think of it as in terms of like, did I just smell coolant?
Mm-hmm.
I think I did. Maybe it was the car in front of me. I'm not sure. I don't smell it anymore. It's probably fine.
Right.
Everybody's been through that. Okay. So,
or whatever it is, fill in the blank. Yeah.
And then maybe 20 minutes later, you're like, holy shit, I smell coolant. Okay.
Yeah,
that's what this is, but for your ears.
And the problem, this is the whole, you know, the adage of like, throw a frog in a pot of boiling water and it'll jump out right away. But if you slowly increase the temperature, it'll stay. So part of this is like, at first you're like, am I hearing it? I don't know if I am. I'm questioning it. And then you're like, I think I'm hearing it. But so it's like, it's slowly increasing.
I'm like, I hear it. This is bad. And that's when I started doing some Instagram stories. I was about 8 miles from the track.
Okay.
Like, I definitely hear it. This sucks. Oh, no. Next video. Uh-huh. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to make it.
Yeah.
I'm 4 miles away. And it is, man, it sounds like someone's inside the motor with a little hammer going whack, 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 whack.
Did you know at that point? In the stories you said.
Yeah. There's a few people once I got to the track because I didn't want to get stuck in the middle of nowhere, Wisconsin, on the side of the road waiting for a tow truck. I did not want to do that. And I knew, I'm like, this thing is dead. Okay. The motor is fucking dead.
It's spun a bearing. Devil's advocate. As soon as you knew, like, that's what it is, in theory, and I know we'll get to this conversation, but you could have just done rod bearings at that point and probably been fine.
Probably not.
if you had turned it off.
Once you spin a bearing, you're most likely have damaged the surface of the crank. Most likely you've gouged or smeared, smeared the crank or whatever. You've done one of the two, or you need a new rod. Usually, you know, sometimes it'll smear on the rod a little bit. And plus I'm angry.
I know, because I know it's the frustration.
I was done at that point. Okay. So I got it. I wanted to get it to the track area. I wanted to get it to Elkhart Lake.
Yes.
Downtown and park it, because I thought maybe I can park it there from the weekend, because I really wanted people to see the car, right?
Yes,
I really wanted them to see it and experience it, and nobody did. But
I know
I really wanted to get it there, so that was my goal. And it got louder and louder, and by the time I got there and it was loud, I was angry.
Yep.
I was furious. Not at anything in particular. Maybe
you're frustrated with the scenario.
I think I was disappointed at everything that wasn't going to be able to happen.
Hmm.
I saw, like, it would be like driving on a beautiful road and there's a vanishing point and the sun is setting there. And then there's an earthquake and the road splits open and you drive into a cliff.
I think I'd be more upset about driving into a cliff rather than, like, I can't get to the vanishing point.
Just giving you an example of how devastating this was.
Yeah.
And I was angry and I was frustrated, and I got the car and I parked it on the street and I got out and I went and I sat down and leaned on a building and I looked at it and I just went, fuck this car.
I'm done.
Fuck
at
this
that
car.
Point, you were
it has
so
been,
done.
What sucks is how well it ran. You know, it ran great on the carburetors, the manifolds that Alex made, the cams. It finally was at a point where it was like, this is cool and it works. And I was really proud of myself. I was really proud of myself that I got it to work. Because this is far removed from anything else I'd done. You know, it was another step beyond, you know, doing simple things. And I was frustrated. I was angry at all the things that weren't going to happen. And I felt like and I know this is not true, because for me, the journey for much of the car's life has been working on it. You know, it's been, we talked about how this car saved my life, right? You know, in a way, the car saved my life. It gave me something it gave me a reason to get up when I was very sick. You know, it gave me a reason to walk out into the garage and be here and not be feeling sorry for myself in the house.
Yep.
And I felt like, fuck, man, it was almost, I almost ran across the banner at the finish line where you get to have the champagne, right? I feel like I was almost at the point where, great, it's done. I can enjoy it. And the fruits of my labor, as sour and bitter as they were at times, it was worth it. And I felt like all of that got taken away from me in an instant. And all the time and the effort, and I don't give a shit about the money. I don't care. But the time and the emotional energy that I put into this car, and I can't believe I felt like it got ripped away from me.
Yeah.
And became meaningless. And in hindsight, I know that that's not true. So anyway, I'm sitting there and I'm like, I'm going to crush this car. And I was serious. When I said it on social media, I said, when I get this car home, I'm going to pull all the cool parts off of it and I'm going to crush it. And I'm going to watch it get crushed. And people are like, oh, you should keep a panel off of it. I'm like, nope, I don't want anything. I'm going to crush this car. It's done. It served its purpose. The course was run. I got it running. It did its thing for a minute, and it's done. I felt like it was just, the car had become almost like cancerous in a way.
Right.
Like it had affected, getting the car done for the rally last year affected my ability to help you and Jeff do the rally.
Right. Yep.
And so it hurt me there, and then it hurt me again. And then it continually like just kicked me in the nuts all the time with the carburetors and stuff like that. It kept hurting me. So like, why am I going to continue to touch the stove? You know, why am I going to be like,
I get it.
Yeah.
And I know you well enough to know that you were dead serious, but I also hoped that there was going to be a cool down period here where we've come to. And I had people, I know people were messaging you about it nonstop. Like, don't do it. Don't do it. People were reaching out to me being like, can you please talk Chris out of this? Like, I would buy parts off of it. Like, he could recoup all of his cost if he like parted out the cool panels.
I don't care
like
about
everyone
the cost.
Buys a
I don't
panel.
Care
I know.
About
and
the
that
money.
Wasn't it. It. But people were trying to convince me to convince you that you it can't be done. You know what I mean? But
yeah,
I understand.
So of course, I called up a tow truck driver, called up AAA. I get the first 200 miles covered. And mm-hmm. then it's $7 a mile after that. We're 350 miles from home. Which adds it's a lot of money. So I ended up talking to the tow truck driver. I talked him down to $5 a mile. So it ended up being like $700 or $800 or something like that to tow the car. But it left immediately, 11:30 that night. Well, not immediately, because it took 6 hours for the guy to show up.
Actually get there, right.
Yeah. I'm super, super, super thirsty and there's nothing. Let's take can I mark this?
You know what I'm gonna do, Chris? I know, no, you don't have to do that. I'm gonna read an ad.
Do it.
I'm going to read an ad and you're going to go there because talking about Petrolbox is always fun and amazing. Petrolbox, as you guys know, is our awesome sponsor that is a monthly subscription service made specifically for car guys, for automotive enthusiasts, the car girls, car people in your life. Every month, it's really cool gear that is delivered right there to your doorstep. I think you can go online and look at what the box contains, but that ruins the fun of it. I like getting it on the doorstep. And it's always a surprise, right? Because it's always going to be something cool, interesting. Usually it's detailing supplies, detailing tool to go along with that. Some other unique gadget, 10 millimeter sockets, some other unique tool that I usually don't have in my toolbox and somehow serendipitously end up needing. It's very cool. T-shirts, swag, pins, enamel pins of like your favorite historic race cars. I have a whole collection of them now. It's really cool stuff and it makes a great gift. Head over to mypetrolbox.com. Check them out. Use Overcrest. That'll get you a discount on your order as low as $19.95 a month. You can do it. Check them out. mypetrolbox.com.
Okay. So sitting there thinking about crushing this fucking car. And I'm visualizing it happen.
Uh-huh.
I'm just like
the sounds and the shattering glass
popping off
and you're just like, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just crushing it.
Filming it. Yeah.
Don't shoot me. And stop it. Oh, Jesse's shooting me with a gun. Like, get out of here.
A Nerf gun?
Yeah. No, it's like these little gel blaster things. Oh, it's like 170 feet per second. Oh, shit. Jesus Christ. Can you hear that?
Yes.
It hurts.
Well, now I know that this is a thing. I'm going to message her next time we're recording and somehow have remote
so
shooting
I get shot
of you.
Again?
Yeah.
Jesus, I don't know. Scared the hell
anyways,
out of me.
Okay. So the car is getting picked up, brought back to your house. And at this point, you are still thinking when it gets home, you're going to crush it.
Yes, I am. I'm visualizing it happen in my mind and I'm excited about it. I feel like I'm like, this is going to be
It'd
great.
Be cathartic.
Because
It'd
I'm like... I'm looking at, like, I have all this shit to do. I have this trooper to do.
Yep.
And Jesse's never, ever complained about projects and
the
what's
entire
going on
stall of your garage being taken up. Yeah.
She goes, you really got to get that trooper done. It's been like that for like 2 years.
Yep.
And I'm like, yeah, I guess that's probably true. So I'm like, I can crush the car, work on the trooper, and just
move
have
on.
My 911.
Be done with that period.
Yeah. And just like
chapter.
Start something new.
Yep.
And I slept on it and I woke up and the car was gone. And I was sad the car was gone. I was like, I couldn't look at it anymore.
Yep.
And I started thinking, okay, what can I do?
Uh-huh.
What can I do with this thing? So I sent a message to my friend Matt Kwiak, who does tons of motor swaps on Mercedes and stuff like that. I'm thinking about all the things I can do. I'm like, I can do a C36 AMG, which is M104 based engine. And they made those for 20 years. Here's another thing. Here's what bugged me or what kind of kicked me off to just being like, fuck it. Cause I could rebuild the engine that's in it. I could do it. Right.
Right.
Here's what made me go, fuck that. I still don't have a 5-speed transmission for that car.
Right.
A 5-speed transmission for that car is anywhere from $1,500 to $3,000.
Right. Which is
plus the cost of rebuilding the engine. Plus you have to find one. They're not easy to find. And
ship
I've been
it,
so angry about trying. And what's ironic is I was just talking about this right before the motor blew up on social, on Instagram.
Oh.
I was like, yeah, I could maybe get a different motor.
That's
and
right.
Blew up.
Like, yep. The car was I was like, yeah, you cursed it. Exactly. I just got very angry.
Yep. And so I'm just like, I want to move on. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to do the carbs. I'm done with it. I don't want to do the Webers. I don't want to do the ITBs. I don't want to do this motor, this M110.
My favorite part, and I think most people's favorite part of that car, are the side draft Webers with the super one-off unique intake manifold that looks period correct.
I sold it all.
And the cams. Gone. I know.
I sold it all.
But that was I had my favorite part.
The interest that I had, I'm like, yeah, this stuff is for sale. It was like, you remember that stinks thing with the water coming over? It was like that, but people that wanted to buy this stuff. It's just like, oh my God.
I'm not surprised. Ah. Yeah. Yeah.
So I did sell it. Sold the cylinder head with the cams, the valve springs, the valve cover, and the intake manifolds to somebody that's going to do
all those big unit
ITBs. So they're going to do fuel injection Gen Vs.
Okay. So yeah. So you kept the carburetors and they'll
I'm going to sell those too. Because that's another $1,500. You know,
I might buy them.
Why?
It's another. Just we'll get there.
Okay. Well, I'll sell them to you for cheaper than
the truck.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Yeah. That sounds
which
cool.
I had someone, it doesn't need to be this episode, but I had someone on the Discord, because you should be over there and join the conversation, being like, wait, I didn't know that Jake had this cool C10.
Yeah.
I want to hear more about it. Or like, let's run through our vehicles and talk about where they
is
are and what they
ADHD
are.
Is this ADHD Jake talking, or is this like real Jake? Because right now you can't even finish that 951.
Correct. This is ADHD Jake, but I've always wanted to do this with this truck, and we can talk about that later.
Oh, well, okay. I'm almost done with this anyway.
Well, there's a lot more to the weekend, but yes.
Well, I don't really give a shit about the rest of the weekend, but we can talk some about
some
of the
people
cars
do.
Do they? I don't know.
Yes. People
okay.
have total FOMO with like watching this weekend and how cool it is.
Anyway, so
and you're you were sour about the whole weekend because of this.
Yeah.
So
even if my car wasn't broken, I'd still be sour about the weekend.
Why?
Because my friend Jake and Colin brought dirt bikes to drive around the track.
It was great.
And
why
I don't have one.
You?
So I'm like by myself, no dirt bike, no Grom, no Ruckus, no nothing. You didn't consider me at all. You just
we
brought up motorcycles
next time, yeah,
and left me behind.
It was really fun having those. That's the way to get around the track.
It is. And I thought I was going to be able to get around on my little scooter, my
right.
little stand-up
yes.
scooter, which goes like 18, 19 miles an hour. It's fine.
Right. Little
they're
electric
illegal.
Stand-up scooter, which, yeah.
They're illegal. I don't understand why. It's something with the insurance.
It's the insurance and how they classify these things, which is really dumb. It's very, very dumb.
You can drive around on a 250cc motorcycle around with people all over the place, but an 18-mile-per-hour stand-up scooter?
But, nope. Also, pit bikes are also illegal. That is the exact same as my Grom, but it's not road legal. It's
right.
like the weird stipulation is so weird. And then you bring e-bikes into the mix too, that are like just as fast and powerful as these Groms most of the time, because that's what my dad and Nikki were riding. And it's just it's the like what I don't know what you'd call this subcategory of transportation and mobility now, but it's so convoluted. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like. Your little stand-up scooter versus if it had a seat on it, it'd be fine versus a pit bike versus, you know, a Grom versus e-bikes.
Hey,
versus,
can I get my motorcycle license on your Grom? Will you
yes,
let me
you
ride
can
it?
And you should. Yes, you can and you should.
Okay.
It is hilariously easy.
Yeah, I would like to do that. I don't really want to have a motorcycle, but I should have my motorcycle. I know
you should always have.
I've ridden dirt bikes around
Agreed.
And stuff like that. I'd like to do it
because
even if Colin wasn't there and you're like, you can ride my monkey, I can't.
Right.
So I need to be able to do it anyway. And maybe I'll.
Nope. You should do that.
They
100%.
Last night I was looking. I was mad about like not being able to hang out because I didn't have any way to get around.
Yeah.
And my stupid scooter was banned. Like I pulled in. They're like, if I see you cross this line on that stand up scooter, we will confiscate it. And you can pick it up at the last day of the event on Sunday night. Do not bring that in here. I was like,
I don't know if we need to talk about it. They were very, very serious this year. And crack down like the organizers, the track.
Everything's a little more serious. Even the city thing was serious with no parking here. Don't do this. Don't do that. And
which I think that just goes to the fact that it's so much bigger, right?
It is.
So many
it's
more
growing
people.
Fast.
They have to.
Yeah, it's not like it was 10 years ago where it was pretty casual.
It was super loose, and who cared? And that was part of the fun, right?
Yeah.
Still it's
fun,
still
though.
Cool. Yeah, for
it,
sure.
It is, guys. And I've said this for years, and none of you dumb idiots believe me. I've told 100 people to come to this event, and none of you do it. What
well,
is
I
your
had
problem?
To, I had to drag Colin. Like, last minute, he's like, I'm not feeling well. I don't even want to go out there, blah, blah. And I was like, dude, this is your vibe.
It's your jam.
Like,
yeah.
This is totally your jam.
It is. I love other events. And maybe I'm just like a home-based kind of guy.
Right.
And I've been there so many times, and it's comfortable and nice and stuff like that. But it is really a good event.
Well, good even Colin, who has been to most of the big tracks in the country, he's like, this is the prettiest. It's the most beautiful scenic track.
There's no question about it. And it's all natural elevation, too.
Exactly.
It wasn't like built. It was like, we're going to put a track here. How can we use this natural area?
Exactly.
The
elevation reminds me of Laguna Seca, but there's actually trees and you're not in the middle of a desert.
Yeah. You're not just getting blown in the face with dirt. Yeah. Exactly.
So it is an awesome track. It's a beautiful event. It's really cool seeing these amazing cars.
What would you put in my car before we start talking about the event?
Sure.
What would you do?
So, by the way,
I'm leaving tomorrow.
Right.
I rented a truck.
Pick up an engine.
And I'm supposed to, I think I screwed up the reservation on the Enterprise thing, but I got to go pick up the truck tonight and then go get it tomorrow. I'm going to have an engine, a transmission, a drive shaft, and a differential. And a wiring harness and an ECU. I've got the whole thing. And I'm going to put it in the back of an Enterprise truck. Like, I think I should bring a tarp or something. But, yeah.
Probably, yes. Okay. So, first of all, I feel like you need a truck or an SUV that is a reliable, normal vehicle that isn't
That's a project. This was supposed to be this Trooper.
Because do you know our wives text now? Like, behind our back?
No.
I didn't know that's a thing, but yeah, Nikki's like, I feel bad for his family. He doesn't have a reliable vehicle. He couldn't take the girls to the hospital if they needed to, blah, 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 blah. She's like getting on you, on me somehow to get on you about like, you need a reliable vehicle, sell your projects and have fun. And Colin's the same way. Like he has like 13 project cars back home here. And he's like, yeah. Had to borrow our Audi for a while. And he's like, why do all your adult friends not have reliable cars? There's no responsibility. I was like, oh, I know. Believe me, I know.
You know what would happen if something happened? We would just pile in the car and go. In this Mercedes.
If it's
or
an emergency,
Like, it's not a big deal.
Exactly. But the fact that you're renting a truck to go find a motor.
Well, I asked my friend Jake if he would just go with me because he's got a trailer and a truck and everything.
I said, you can have the trailer. Go for it.
Yeah, but then I'm just like, I don't really have anything to pull it with. I could use this Mercedes because it's got a trailer hitch.
Which goes back to the fact that you need.
I don't know. It's fine. I rented an F-150, the premium truck.
Ooh.
It was $110 total.
So,
unlimited miles.
And I'm that actually the is, there's something to be said about like just having fun cars and renting it on the rare occasion you need it. Because that's really cheap.
Yeah,
and you don't have to worry about it.
I don't have to worry about it, maintain it, nothing. So we're going to go get it. But what do you, so I know what it is.
And I think I know what it is and it's whatever. I won't comment on it, but I love that car because it is like correct, period, correct. The carburetors, it looks, it's, I like it how it is, was. And when you were looking, you were talking to us about it. And so the C36 AMG was basically the evolution of this motor, right? It's still inline
long-term evolution,
dual overhead cam. It's like the better, bigger, stronger version of that motor. I would have loved to have seen you do like some nasty cams on that motor with carbs still. Bring it over. That's what I would love to see. And the 5-speed that you like, and maybe like a cool tall rear end or something.
Well, C36 AMG motor is 280 horsepower. You don't need to do anything.
I know, but that's part of I want it to sound nasty. I want it to be like, you know, the red pig, but I want this to be like the white, like small pig.
The white sheep? The white lamb?
The white
pig? Is there
pig
white
or
pigs?
Something.
Are there white pigs?
I don't know.
There might be white pigs.
I don't know. Anyways, that's what I would like to see.
I got to look up and see if there's a white pig. I'm going to go to just Google image search white pig.
You know what? It could be the albino pig. Just call it the albino pig.
Large white pig. Large white is a British breed of domestic pig. It's the small white.
Small white
pig.
Perfect.
That's okay.
That's what should be done.
Okay. Perfect. All right. We're all set.
But that's not what
are white pigs rare?
Probably.
No, it's one of the most numerous of all pig breeds. So
but I bet an albino pig is very rare. So that's what it should be, the albino pig.
Too many syllables.
Okay.
Anyway.
You're not doing that at all.
I'm not doing. I'm angry at Mercedes. I'm angry at Mercedes. That's all I'll say. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing the C.
You know what my dad said?
What did he say?
He goes, "Great. Now he can just throw a Chevy V8 in it."
You can. It's very difficult because the frame rails are narrow and there's a big steering box. So which side on an LS, the headers come off the side and they go back. Mm-hmm. I don't have room on the driver's side for the headers.
Even better, because then your cool project is to do some really wide outside banked headers.
It still has to go by the steering box.
A full, like, different rack and pinion setup.
No, I'm not reinventing the wheel on steering. That's a terrible idea. Well, that is not something I'm qualified or talented enough to do.
Hot rod guys, just you buy a Mustang too. It's like the specific front IRS. You buy the whole damn thing. Don't. They're dirt cheap. Put that in there with a small block.
No. Done. I do not want to do that. I don't like that idea.
Nope.
It's too hard.
But I do not like what you're doing.
You don't.
I think you're doing.
Good.
No, I don't.
I'm glad that you don't like it. That makes me happier.
I'm sure you are.
Do it. So, yeah, it's decided. I'm going to get the motor tomorrow. And okay. I'll probably do like a reveal thing. I don't know. So the motor I'm getting has like 190,000 miles on it.
Okay. Are you going to go through it?
I'm trying. Here's the thing. I'm trying to decide if I want to or not. Because I saw the compression numbers, and all the compression numbers are good.
Okay. Here's what I would recommend.
It's 185, 190 across the board. Brand new, they're 195. So, like,
that's great. That's
fucking great.
Here's what I would do then. Having just had a bottom end go out on you, and having Colin show me how to do this on the motor that we picked up and was questionable. Great compression, great leak down, but put it on the stand. The 951.
Flip it over.
Pull the pan. Put a new pan seal, anyways. Take a couple of the rod caps off and just check them.
Yeah,
that is easy to do. It's quick. Then you have that peace of mind that it's solid. I don't see where.
I thought maybe I would do a head gasket and a timing chain.
I wouldn't even do that because then you have to time it. You have to do all like that's a lot of work. And if it's all good up top, that's fine. Just flip it over, check the caps on the crank and everything, and be good.
Because
you're gonna have enough work ahead of you doing this whole thing.
No.
I know you are.
No,
I know you are.
It's not that hard. Okay. I don't think it's that hard.
Uh-huh.
We also have
a lot of other work besides this new project you're taking on top of your other projects.
What are you talking about?
Okay, how many vehicles are behind you that still have work to be done on them?
None. Just the Mercedes and the Trooper.
That's none. Your math is terrible.
Yeah,
plus, still working on a lot of things behind the scenes on Overcrest, right?
Yeah, I had a catharsis drive with the 911 last night. Ran great. Needs nothing.
That's great. Perfect.
Maybe a battery.
Love that.
Maybe a battery. The battery I've gotten there is like weak. I get in, it's like, if I let it sit too long.
Anyways, it's going to be, you're going to have enough work. I think this is going to be a project.
Obviously.
A big one.
No. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Anyways.
The thing is that the engine is the same form factor. It's like, it's still a longitudinally based engine going in the car.
It's not bolting up though, is it?
It will when I make the mounts for it.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to use the hardest thing. Is probably going to be the tail mount on the transmission.
Okay.
I don't know what that's going to look like yet because this car, the way that the transmission mounts to the car, there's these. So very strange. Okay. This is very strange. So they had 4-speed and 5-speed and automatic transmission in these cars, which are all different sizes. They're all different lengths, like little shorty guys, big automatic transmission, and then the 5-speed's in the middle.
Okay. So the mount is some modular system.
The mount is in a different spot. On the transmission, so they put these slots on the bottom of the transmission with like these captive bolts that stick out, and you can slide them back and forth.
Oh, that's great! I like that.
Down.
Yeah,
yeah, I do too. Kinda. I got to look and see what the mount looks like on the vehicle.
Oh my God.
That I'm getting
the donor vehicle.
The donor.
Wait, are you getting the whole vehicle?
No, I'm getting
okay.
Motor, yeah. harness, yeah. ECU, transmission, uh-huh. drive shaft, rear differential.
Is it all taken out of the vehicle?
He says he's doing that right now. He's doing it. So he sent me a video of it running and everything. Okay. There's a video okay. of it running. He sent me the compression numbers. I said, can you send me evidence that this motor is, it's a special good. Motor. So I'm like, I want to know that it's this and not something else. So is there like a code or like an engine number that you can send me to make sure that it's actually what you're purporting that it is?
Okay.
That would be great.
We're obviously not telling on purpose what this is. Should people vote, figure out, guess?
I don't know. Sure, go ahead and guess. I don't care.
I didn't know if we were just like it's a surprise for the sake of a surprise or what.
It's just fun. You know, it's fun to do things that way and have his surprises. I like surprises. I love surprises.
I know you do. You loved it when your rod started knocking. That was a really fun surprise too.
That was an unfortunate.
I don't like surprises. Surprise. I changed my mind. Okay, so but we did get out on the track. I think we still had fun. We still saw really cool stuff. We're gonna say the same thing.
The McLaren F1 GTR.
I had never seen an F1 in person, and here it was my first time seeing an F1, and it was a GTR. The LM, right? So, yeah.
Incredible. Here's my problem with it, though. They don't take it out on track.
It did not run.
They just start it up once in an hour, and they rev it up for people, and then they turn it off. And I'm
because it's a, $30 million car?
$27 million, $30 million car. You know what, though? I don't care.
I know, because there were other cars that were, they had a bunch of Ferraris that they did like a parade lap with.
Yeah, 250 GTOs and another 40 million
dollar
cars.
There was not a GTO, but there was GT whatever other ones.
I don't know.
The Allegato,
they're all built from one. Home Depot square tubing, in my opinion.
Need to get over that.
No, I don't. That's what they are. They're beautiful. Beautiful cars. The engines are incredible. I love the interiors. But the suspension and the frame on those things is terrible. They're junk.
Well, even Enzo Ferrari said, you know, I'm a company that sells motors, and we just happen to have cars that we put them in as well.
Yeah, that's clearly what's happened because the frames on those things are not great. They're
beautiful seeing those cars, though.
Oh, they're
did you see the purple Dino?
Yeah, I don't like Dinos. I don't like the headlights.
I love that thing.
I don't like the headlights.
Did you see rear glass? I'd never seen the rear window of a Dino.
Yeah.
Special. It's like this weird wrapped swept thing. Very cool.
They started up that McLaren F1, and the throttle response of that car was unreal. I was standing right behind it when they started up. I pushed some guy out of the way. Some guy walked away for a second, and I walked into his spot, and then he walked up and stood right next to me and touched his arm on mine.
Uh-huh.
Like I had taken his spot. I'm like, dude, what the fuck? I literally went, dude, why are you touching me?
Yeah.
He walked up and he's like arm to arm, like his, not just like a little elbow touching me. No, full arm. All of his arm was touching all of my arm. Like he's obviously encroaching on my personal space.
It's funny.
Space
it went in waves purpose. Because then they later started it up and there was like not many people around.
Oh, God. I was like, dude, what is your deal? He's like, well, you're in my spot. I'm like, you fucking left. I'm here now. Like I was like, the dude was like really aggressive and it made me aggressive.
But I didn't
move. So I shot my little film that I put on Instagram anyway, because screw that guy and his sweaty arm. Jerk. That thing sounded incredible.
That was amazing.
Not on track. Okay, here's my problem with this. Okay. Here's my thought.
Tell me your thought.
Everybody was like, well, they're really expensive. You can't get parts. What are you gonna do if you break something that's not available anymore? And I think to myself, look at the manifolds that are on my broken car. You can make anything.
Yeah.
Anything now. You can make it. You break a control arm that's NLA, make another one. Print it, make it, whatever.
I agree.
There's no reason not to drive this stuff anymore. And I guess there's this little bit of like, oh, well, it's not original.
It's not original.
Would you rather anyone, what type of person is it that would rather see that car not drive with a few original parts than see it actually on track driving with maybe a few replacement parts that aren't original? Who the fuck
owner.
Is this person?
The owner. The
fuck
owner.
That guy. Who is it?
I don't know, but you have to realize also, if you own a $30 million car like that, you are looking at that car as an investment, right?
Well, that's part of the problem too. You know,
yes, they're so valuable that you have to look at it like that. That's the only way a lot of these guys can afford it. They're like, well, I could either park my money in some mutual fund, or I could buy this race car and insure it for everything, and it's going to gain value the same way, and at least I can go rev it at shows.
It's the definition of it's like a trophy wife. It's a trophy
Saw
wife.
A lot of those this weekend too, by the way.
Yeah, it was good. Look, the scenery was really nice. It's like a trophy wife that you don't even get to have sex with. You've got a closet.
Wait, hold on.
All her clothes, all her heels, her purses are all lined up.
What is the analogy of sitting there revving it for people, though?
She's just like opening her shirt and closing her shirt like this. Or maybe she's just standing there, like maybe she's oiling up before she goes to the beach, you know, and you get to see her put the suntan lotion on. But she never goes to the beach. You're doing that
for everyone else. Like, because that's the analogy.
She never actually gets in the pool. It's just so stupid. Drive it, please. Drive the car.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people do, because if you look at Goodwood and you look at.
You're right.
Maybe the guy thinks that Road America just isn't the place to use it up.
That could be very
maybe
well.
Maybe it's just that not very well could a be. Cool
it's not prestigious event. Prestigious enough. Yeah, I could very well see that.
Which
actually.
Is a major douchebag material. And I don't want to call whoever the owner is on that, because that might not
be
true.
Yeah, you don't know that. You don't have $30 million invested in this.
If I did, it wouldn't be in that.
No, it wouldn't be in that.
It wouldn't be in that.
But and regardless, if it was, I'm glad it was there, because I got to see it.
It should have been on track. It should have been on the track. Why not organize, if you have a $30 million car, why not organize a parade lap of the car by itself so everyone can do a warm-up
that
lap and then another
really
lap.
And just, that would have been neat.
Just so we can see it. Just so we can see it and hear it, other than, wah bah, wah bah, wah bah, wah bah, wah bah, wah I love the wah wah wah.
Oh,
I want to see whoa. That's what I want. I don't want the wah wah wah. I want the whoa.
Yeah, very
cool.
Does that make sense?
I did hear a whoa, 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 when I was downtown Elkhart Lake on top of the bank.
So did I. Do you want to talk about this?
I do. I think it's very interesting.
It is interesting.
So WeatherTech, one of their drivers, it's the son of the owner of WeatherTech, mm-hmm. was in a, what is that thing, a GT3 RS race car situation?
It's an RSR, so it's RSR. Mid-engine.
Yes,
with the side pipes. Do you know why it was so loud? The side pipes are just headers out the side.
Perfect. I've always wanted to do that. I need to make a button with like a valve on the Mercedes when I do that, so you can just open up and have it dump out the side.
Yeah, it's a little hot rod thing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I think that would
cutouts.
Be fun. Yeah.
It's called cutouts.
Chad was
These are cutouts, but there's nothing else. It's just headers just coming directly out the side.
Loud.
Ooh, loud.
So he pulls up in front of the Brown Bear, which is down the street, does a big burnout there. Then
like
he pulls up right
long.
In front of me. Right in front of me and right in front of a cop. Like,
yep.
He could have rolled down the window and got like one of those baseball cards that the cops give out. The cop wouldn't have had to move to basically hand him the baseball card. It was very close. It was like 10 feet away.
Okay.
And he's on his little bicycle with his cute little bicycle helmet.
The cop.
The cop was. And above on the other building, there's like, they were serious about security, man. They were mm-hmm. really serious. Probably because mm-hmm. somebody had drove through a bunch of people in Waukesha, which isn't too far from there. Snipers yes. on the rooftops. I mean, it was serious security.
What were there? I didn't see that.
Yeah, there was. Yeah, there was wow. like SWAT teams on top of the roof.
Okay.
Just watching.
Wow.
And so he does a huge smoky burnout, like
yep.
massive, loud.
Couple blocks loud.
Couple blocks.
Super
and this is
loud.
Like major no-no.
Well,
because you've got
you understand
people,
why.
Yeah, there's it's people six it's deep, packed. Seven deep on each side of a two-lane road. In downtown Elkhart Lake, which is a very small, sleepy, quiet town, and
right.
you're in your RSR race car doing a burnout. Okay.
And here's the problem with it. A burnout by itself, fine. But now it's set a precedent, and
yes.
now you're going to have the dude who does not have a factory-prepped race car that is, you know, reliable, has both front brakes working, is controllable by a
professional driver. Yeah.
Yeah. The guy who has his whatever Mustang, you know, that happens to be a race car on the track is going to do it. One of the wheel brakes or something is going to come loose. So then it goes shooting off to the left and kills 10 people.
Yep.
That's
not
why
good.
You can't have it.
You just
so,
can't. So how
what
do you,
happened?
So how do you then keep people from setting that precedent? Well, you have to.
Well, you
have
need
to
crash
punish the
down
guy.
Hard.
Hard.
And So Nikki, ironically, was just walking back to our place because it's all like very timely and ironic. So I had Rhett there, my son, 1.5. And we were like worried because like, oh, is he going to like all this? Blah, blah, blah. He was into it. He was like, room, 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 room. All the cars coming in except that one because I was right there and it was obviously loud, right? And so he's like, that was too much. He started crying. Yeah, it scared him a lot.
Yep.
And so Nikki's like, that's fine. I'll take him back to the hotel. So she takes the back road. And what she saw and we didn't see. So the guy keeps going and you see the little bicyclist cop go after him.
Yep.
Well, they come around the corner as she's walking the kid back. She said it was very, very aggressive by the police. They were basically pulling him out of the car.
Whoa.
Yes. They were pulling him out of the car is the way she explained it. And I don't know if they actually there is no key in a race car, but they basically said you cannot start this car again. So that's why they push pushing it out.
Yeah, they pushed it all the way out, put it on a trailer, and took it back.
The cops didn't allow them to even start the car again.
What's interesting
I think there may have been threat of either
impound.
Something bad was, I think, going
to happen. Yeah, but when you are, it's WeatherTech Raceway.
Right.
Here's
what became very interesting with the outcome of this, right? So this is very bad.
Let's step back for a second. Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Me.
Yes.
It's me.
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Handcuffed.
I'm in the car, driven to death
impounded.
Car, and yep. I'm in the parade and I do a brake stand in front of all those people. What happens to me?
You get handcuffed in front of everyone. They want to make a scene of it.
Yep.
And
I'm there till Monday morning. I'm in prison till Monday morning.
Oh yeah. They're not going to let a judge see you.
Impounded.
Impounded. Yep. If not taken completely away and not being able to get again. So I think that was maybe part of the threat, but of course, being a big organization behind it that sponsors the entire event, everything else, and the track itself, by the way. There's a lot of WeatherTech on the track.
Here's a question. Let me ask you this question. Was it, and this might have been something we talked about, I don't remember. Was this on purpose? Was this like a marketing plan?
You think it was orchestrated?
I don't know, because it's really dumb. This was like so egregiously stupid. There's no world in which this kid,
here's what it is. His name's Cooper McNeil.
Cooper McNeil. Yeah, that's
here's
right.
The thing, the mindset. I don't know him. I would love to hang out and like I'm sure he's a great guy. And obviously it's an awesome organization they're a part of. I love WeatherTech. But I feel like perhaps if you're in that atmosphere where your entire family, business, etc., is kind of a big sponsor of the event.
I think he hyped himself up.
You may have this mindset of being like, it's okay, I can do what I want, maybe. Could have been part of it, right?
Do what I want, maybe. Got it.
So what I heard then, the next day, like we see that happen, we're like, ooh, yeah, he got in trouble, that's bad. The next day, I hear over the loudspeaker, I don't think you were there, you had already left. This was Sunday. No, this was Saturday on the track.
Mm-hmm.
They go, Cooper McNeil, in order to, what did they say, redeem himself and his egregious behavior last night, has participated and organized a fundraiser for the local police department of Elkhart Lake and will be having a dunk tank at the car show tomorrow night. And for every dollar donated, he will then double it or triple it or something like that. So basically, they set up in like overnight, they set up basically a big fundraiser and I'm sure came to some sort of agreement to support the police. I loved some of whoever it was who was working all night on getting signs printed, having slogans tested out. It was Dunk Cooper for the Coppers.
Yeah.
And he had signs made up that said, quote, burnouts are bad. So I liked from a marketing perspective, seeing how that all happened really, really quickly. Here's the thing. It will never happen again. There will never be a burnout again. That was a precedent that was set. I'm glad I got to see it.
I am too. Yeah, I think it was pretty fucking awesome. And I think 99.9% of the spectators liked it as well.
Oh, everyone loved it. But I think you have to, looking at it logically, understand why that was a bad thing. Because guess what? The best part of the event is seeing these amazing historic race cars that are not street legal, driven downtown.
Yeah.
Just a sleepy little Wisconsin town parking along the street. That is the coolest part of the entire event.
It is a cacophony of incredibleness.
It really just, is. It the really noise, is the smell, because guess what? They're all running race gas. You don't smell race gas in the middle of downtown Wisconsin.
Yeah, leaded race fuel.
It's so amazing.
You lose what? How many IQ points do you think we lose just by going there every year?
Well, the entire generation lost 7 IQ points, 7% of their intelligence. We're probably fine.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. But yeah, that was very interesting. I think last takeaways of the weekend as a whole in the event. Favorite parts, of course, are seeing the people. Like, there's a lot of people that you're friends with that you don't necessarily
see. It's great
see.
Meeting so many people that listen to Overcrest, and that's always just...
It was very cool.
We live in this bubble, Jake and I.
We basically are talking to each other.
Yeah.
And it turns out people do listen, which is great.
Yeah, it's overwhelming.
But no, I had a lot of people come say, hi, please do that. You know, some people were like, oh, I know you're with your family. I didn't want to bother you. No, please bother me. I would love to say hi and talk to you.
Whatever makes him feel a little bit taller, maybe.
Yeah, like, sure.
Like puts a spring in his
By the way, so Nikki, my wife, took a couple photos of us, you know, and we posted them on Instagram. Two comments. I got a ton of people saying, well, you guys are both short. Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why Chris teases me about it.
Yeah, we're both short.
You know, an inch or something.
I'm only 5'7", guys. I'm not like...
Yeah, no, exactly. So, but then overwhelming in that photo, everyone commented...
On your shoes.
You're not wearing Birkenstocks?
Jake is... Flooded. They have bad taste, but he's not an idiot. He's been riding around on...
You
don't
motorcycle
wear flip-flops or sandals when you're riding a motorcycle.
No.
That is idiotic.
Exactly.
So,
yes.
That's why he didn't. I got that too, like, just nonstop. Jake's shoes. I'm like, holy Christ.
It's hilarious. I'm like, damn it. What have we done? Like, now I can't be seen in public without Birkenstocks.
It's almost made it worse. I thought eventually you'd get shamed into not wearing them.
No. Oh, no. Like, now I can't not wear them. Yeah. Like, I was like, Nikki bought some other, you know what Keens are? They're like a hiking sandal.
Yeah.
I really like them because they're closed toe. Because I've lost so many toenails wearing Birkenstocks in the garage. So I was like, Keens are great, but I can't wear them. It's not on brand anymore. People will be upset.
Ugh, you ridiculous. Could stop at any time.
I know.
You could stop.
Okay. So, but my point is, I loved seeing the people hanging out.
Yep.
And the other thing was just seeing the different cars hanging out and... You know, it's not even about the racing or seeing them on track necessarily.
I don't care about that.
True. I know.
Like going out and seeing and watching them like go on track, I can go, okay, saw it.
We did that for 20 minutes. We hung out and watched, and it was really cool.
Take a class that you want to see. You go for that session, and you've had your fill. Because it's not necessarily competitive racing. The classes are kind of goofy, and like these, you have weird cars that don't really jive with other cars, and it just doesn't make sense.
Well, I will say, not to interrupt, but was it Saturday or Sunday? When are you ever going to see a NASCAR truck going wheel to wheel with a Ferrari Stratosdale?
A what?
I don't know. Whatever the race car, Scuderia, Stratosdale, something, Ferrari. I don't know Ferraris, Chris.
Stradale?
I really don't. Sure. Yeah, that
one. Stratosdale? Is it built in Phoenix?
Well, the fact is, Jesus. Yes, because it was next to the truck.
Is this
it's just
you
very
put,
cool,
like, everything
the variety.
On license plates? You should just start doing it phonetically. So you can...
Oh, I should, so I can actually understand how to pronounce it. As those damn Ferrari. Italians. I've been to Italia. I've been to Italia. I've even been over there to Italia, Chris. I still don't understand it. I don't.
Stratosdale.
But it's
Holy
cool
shit.
Seeing, the different cars all in one
that is
segment.
Neat. I still end up walking the paddock is the best thing. And because you can get right up, you can talk to the mechanics, people will talk with you.
That's a
vintage race thing. That's most vintage races are like that, but this is like that too. And that's my favorite part. You know, I missed camping this year because
you
I would get up
there.
At sunrise and I would go walk the paddock when it's quiet and there's nobody there.
Yep.
And that is the best time to do it. They're pulling the covers off the cars because it probably fucking rained like it does every year.
Yeah.
And you get to look at the cars.
It does rain every year, doesn't it?
It does. A little bit. It rains. Or either it rains every year and the weather's beautiful because it just rains a little bit.
Yeah, it was like overnight it rains.
It's nuclear hot.
Right.
Which is always kind of a bummer.
This year was very good. Yeah, it was beautiful. What I noticed this year, though, paying attention to exhaust sounds, right? So the Ferraris to me...
Why are you paying attention to exhaust sounds?
Well, I was just going to say, what is the best sounding car, race car?
Oh,
because race cars are always on the ragged edge as far as tuning and everything else. And sometimes that doesn't make a good sounding car.
No, like if you, like you listen to all the 911s go by and you're like,
they don't sound good. Right.
No, they don't. They don't. There was a 993 that was probably a bigger displacement 993 that was running around. That thing sounded pretty good. Everything else was like,
blatty. It's blatty.
Swarm of bees. Not great.
So that didn't sound good. The Ferraris to me sound way too frenetic.
It's the ones that sound good are the vintage 60s, 70s Formula One cars and the Formula 5000s like that.
Yes. That sounds great. Really good. Corvettes all sound terrible, too. Do you know why?
Because they have because they all have
side pipes. No, because a couple of those.
You only hear half.
And they're a big displacement, not super high revving. So they sound just like a tractor. Right.
Yeah. Like they sound.
That's why the Corvettes don't sound good. Like, and the four cylinders are all buzzy. Doesn't matter what it is. It's buzzy. Yep. Like the British stuff. It's charming. Like I like the British cars.
Meow.
Yep. No, but it's like.
Yeah. They don't sound good.
But yeah, the inline sixes, whatever it was, they were the best sounding car at speed on track.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. There's a lot of good sounding things. I like the Formula One, you know, V8s, stuff like that sound incredibly high. Yeah.
So that's why, with my C10 project,
I think I remember you mentioning this before.
Yeah.
This is cool. I think, what are you going to do for a manifold? What do you have to make something or what?
Sure. Yeah. I don't know. I'll talk to one of our friends that does it. Or, you know, it's going to be so simple because this is a 230. It's the first year. This was a new high performance six cylinder for Chevy at the time. They called it the turbo torque motor.
High performance?
Yes. It's an over square six cylinder.
Okay.
Which is not the old stove bolt tractor engine.
Here's what you have to put different pistons in there. You need way more compression to
probably
run, like, would be
probably and cams. What all this stuff
cam?
Is available.
Cam, it's a cam. Right. Cam.
It's a cam, but you can do an dual overhead cam head conversion as well, which I'm not going to do. But they made these. Okay, Argentina.
I pronounced that wrong.
I didn't mean to do that.
You're on a roll, Jake.
I am on such a good roll, you guys. Argentina is a very unique microcosm of car culture. Especially in Chevys, because they didn't get a lot of V8s. I don't know if it was for regulations, efficiency, etc. They didn't get a lot of V8s in their cars. But they got like the Chevy Nova, the Chevelles, everything else. And they all had this generation of six-cylinder in them. And they made this up until 2001 in these vehicles. This same six-cylinder. And so what they did is all of their cup car, IMSA cars, whatever the actual organizing body was at the time there, they ran these motors and they run them to 9,000 RPM all day long.
Jesus. Yeah, I think it's amazing. Showing me a video of this.
It's, and they sound ridiculous because they sound like a, you know, a old American V8 at idle because it's that lumpy, like blah, 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 blah. And then they run up to 9,000 and you're like, what is this thing?
Well, these carbs do that. That's for sure.
Yes. So I would love to do side draft Webers on this truck motor. With, I don't know, a lumpy cam or something ridiculous.
Well, buying these for me would really help me out with all this other stuff I'm doing. So that's what I like to hear. If I don't have to try and sell them on eBay or something, that's great.
No, because Colin,
you know what's cool? You can have the 3D printed velocity stacks, and that stuff will live on in Overcrest still.
The aluminum ones.
Yeah, the aluminum magnesium velocity stacks.
You can have those with them. Okay.
So I was going to pull those off to sell them.
I like this plan. Okay.
Yeah, this is a cool plan.
Because Colin's like, the truck is awesome, but it needs a V8 in it, right?
And wheels. It needs more tire, like, desperately.
Oh, yeah, that's, we're going to fix the tire. I'm going to, yep, needs
can you get another
tire,
one of these,
wider
can you get
wheel.
Another one of these motors to build on the side so you don't have to?
Oh, yeah, they're super cheap.
They're like $4,
I should
right?
do that.
Yeah,
yeah
do
I should
that.
Do that.
Pick
you're
up a
right.
block. I mean, are you going to do this dual overhead cam head thing?
No.
No, okay. So just,
no,
yeah,
I'm going to do a cam, light rate. Lifters, right?
What is wrong with you? Rods? You're doing this with your hands. That's like a rod.
No, motion. Your camshaft is down here, right? And so you have your
push rods.
Push rods, dude. Thank you.
Yeah,
I'm
no
out
problem.
Of it. I didn't sleep well this weekend. Push rods. Yeah, you do like lightweight push rods, and you know you can do roller situation
roller
on
things.
Those
roller situation. Got it. We're gonna end this. We're gonna say goodbye before Jake starts calling. Pistons bunny rabbits.
You know, yeah, the uppy downies.
All right, guys. On that note, I'm going to get the motor tomorrow. By the time this comes out, I'm going to be in my brand new F-150 going to pick it up with the parts in the back and hopefully not destroy the bed of the truck. I did buy the insurance just in case that I...
That's a very good plan.
Yeah,
very good. Always buy the insurance. I forget who it was. There was like a celebrity or someone who rented a truck or a car, and he's like, I always get insurance because I drive the piss out of it. I ran into a tree. 30 minutes later, I got a new one. It didn't cost me a dime.
Well, I'm going to try to avoid that. All right, yes. Guys, we will see you next week.
Take care.